Dear God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, Patrick Swayze's ghost, Ghostwriter, and you know what? Whoever else is up there, with all the people you took last year, what are you doing up there? Making another We Are the World video? Dear God, please let the Steelers win. If you let them win, I'll take back that Red Sonja tape I still got from Eagle Video. I'll stop telling the kids that Disney World burned down. I'll even go back and pay for all them Columbia Heights tapes I got back in 93. All you had to do was put a penny in an envelope and boom, Duran Duran, right in your mailbox. I signed up for that thing under 5 different names. Mrs. Hartman is still getting the bills. The prayer says, lead us not into temptation, so quit sending me the brochures in the mail for them. I mean, I'm only human. Well, I'm not saying I deserve this win, but when I saw that share if you like Jesus thing on Facebook, I shared it. Not just a like, shared. Counts as more. If we win, I won't harass Tom no more. Hey, Tom. Tom, what are you doing here? Jeez, even God can't bring the Ravens playoff back from the dead. Sorry, I thought it didn't start till I left. Well, this win wouldn't just be for me. Entire city would be grateful. Jeez, people would be happier. People would be letting each other merge in on the parkway, going faster through tunnels. And that's what the Bible's all about, ain't it? And hey, we did name our best play after Bible stuff, Immaculate Reception, which is more like I can say for other teams with their Music City miracles and their tuck rules and butt fumbles. And I'm not praying for the Chiefs to get hurt. I mean, maybe they wake up on Sunday with really bad strep throat. Maybe Alex Smith goes to bed with wet hair, gets up with pneumonia. Maybe you hit the Chiefs with a thunderbolt, or a racer, or a jackrabbit. You remember that part in Revenge of the Nerds when they put the hot sauce in the football player's underwear? Something like that could work. And if Kansas City don't win, they got a ton of great stuff they can fall back on in that town. Good barbecue? Country music's Nashville, and tornadoes ain't great. Barbecue goes a long way. And hey, is there any way you can get Phil Simms to just shut up during them games? Let the other guy talk? Jeez, I think the whole world's praying for that one. If you have any miracles left over, maybe you hit Tom Brady with some leprosy. Have an arm fall off. He still has another one. So anyhow, thank you for everything. Go Steelers. Ravens suck. May the force be with you. Amen. Oh, hey. After I lit that prayer candle, I put $5 in the thing. Most people just put singles. Five. That would be worth at least a Harrison sack or two. You think it'd be okay if I dip my terrible towel out there in the holy water? Just, you know, give it extra power? Hey, don't hang your jacket over on a St. Paul statue. If you're going to hang anything on it, go get the Steelers Country banner out of the trunk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're going to stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide.
Have you been out driving?
Mommy! What are you, writing a book?
Yeah.
Well, leave that chapter out. I've been over to VA hospital.
Yeah.
They canceled the appointment because the couldn't get out there. What are you doing with that? Channel 2, get out of here with that bullshit.
All right.
Tell your boys to quit repeating so much of the same damn thing.
All right. Hey, listen.
I know you're going to block all this
but no, we're going to play this one.
You're out of your gourd.
Miss Cole, can you explain the kind of business that you run to me?
I run an adult novelty and home party business.
What is adult novelty?
We go into homes and hold parties for adults with lotions and potions and vibrators.
That kind of adult party?
Yes.
I didn't understand. I really didn't understand what that was from your complaint.
When I received the kit back, there were items missing. The items that were missing entailed the bullwhip, one of a set of 2 C-rings, 10 catalogs, making love oil, flavors strawberry and champagne, order forms, the diving dolphin, good head.
I don't even want to ask what that means.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There were also some of the bags that were missing and erasers, which we use as tasters at our shows, The eager beaver, which appeared to be used. So that may have been used, but we would have appreciated that to have been cleaned up before she returned it to us. And then the tickling taste was broke.
Yo, coming in with a sound fresher than cut grass.
On the start,
second that we enter, if you must ask,
rush past, like you've forgotten your mind.
All the drivers all up in the face, like, can I see a bus pass? But nah, we just want a little rhyme, bruv. Call me what you want, but you should not call it a night, love. And I might just join a mile high club. Only problem being that I couldn't give a flying.
Yeah, let me touch back down.
Slap her on the bum until it
comes back round.
Half the room's like, oi, what's this all about? With the other half jiving.
I love that sound.
What? Yeah, yeah,
I love that sound.
Whoa. Yeah, yeah,
I love that sound.
So flick your fag butts out once on a mad one. Like, yeah, your mama can hum.
Me.
I just want all of these girls to be on me. And maybe even one of them could be Beyonce. We ain't gonna pack the rap noise in. All of that cheesy stuff, clap, clap, sing. And we're gonna burn some calories right here, right now. Ain't over till a fat boy slims, mama.
Mama, do the hum, mama, do the hum, hum. Mama, won't you please, yeah. Let me do the hum,
do the hum, mama.
Mama, do the hum, mama, do the hum, hum.
What?
Mama, won't you please,
yeah.
Let me do the hum,
do the hum, mama.
Yeah, knock her rum back down.
Bust a little jiggy, use the
drum trap pound.
The room are just making a burn crowd with the other half jiving.
I love that sound.
Yeah, yeah,
I love that sound.
Yeah, yeah,
I love that sound.
So flick your fag butts out once on a mad one. Like, yeah, your mama can't hum. Never gonna happen.
Especially when it's all packed out.
Crowd shouting out.
Yeah, I love that sound.
Yeah, yeah,
I love that sound.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah,
I love that sound.
So flick your fag butts out once on a mad one. Like, yeah, your mama can hump.
My friend and the President-elect of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
Thank you very much. It's very familiar territory, news conferences, because we used to give them on a almost daily basis. I think we stopped giving them because we were getting quite a bit of inaccurate news.
I'm a very high-profile person, would you say?
So there's a great spirit going on right now, a spirit that many people have told me they've never seen before, ever,
ever, ever, ever.
We're going to create jobs. I said that I will be the greatest jobs producer that God ever created. And I mean that. I'm going to work very hard on that. We have a movement. It's a movement like the world has never seen before. It's a movement that a lot of people didn't expect. Okay, questions, yes.
On the border fence, it now appears clear U.S. taxpayers will have to pay for it up front.
It's not a fence. It's a wall. We're going to build a wall. I would say we are going to build a wall, and people would go crazy. I would then say, who's going to pay for the wall? And people would all scream out, 25, 30,000 people, because nobody's ever had crowds like Trump has had. I'd say, who's going to pay for the wall? And they will scream out, Mexico, 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 Mexico. And I'll be honest, Mexico will pay for the wall. Mexico, Mexico.
You know, I've been hearing more and more about a thing called fake news, and they're talking about people that go and say all sorts of things. I could name them, but I won't bother. But you have a few sitting right in front of us. CNN, it's a disgrace. And I say that, and I say that. I think it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace what took place. It's a disgrace. And I say that, and I say that.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, not you. Not you. Let's go. Go ahead. Not you. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You've been waiting. Go ahead.
As far as we understand, the intelligence community...
Stand up, please.
Yeah. As far as we understand, the intelligence community...
I tell this to people all the time. Be careful. Be very careful. Be careful. I always tell them, in your hotel rooms, and no matter where you go, you're going to probably have cameras. Be very careful. In those rooms, you have cameras in the strangest places. Cameras that are so small, with modern technology, you can't see them and you won't know. You better be careful, or you'll be watching yourself on nightly television. I tell this to people all the time.
Thank you, Mr. President-elect.
I want to thank everybody. So, just so you understand, you're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
It starts off with just one hit. Then it takes off, then there's millions. It goes on until it snowballs, till someone takes a fall. Fake space race, Nazi moon base, to that strange pic of the Mars face. The CIA killed JFK, I'll bet the next one tops them all.
Now the conspiracy's right.
Fallacious thoughts make my blood boil, with your little hats made of tin foil. Said I told you so, as you stood around, till the last brick hits the ground. Government ran by lizards, was it heart that causes blizzard? Secret club, Illuminati, Elvis Presley is Elton John.
Just wanna breathe the same air.
Sorry, my phone died. It's nothing. I'm fine. These allegations are completely unfounded. The company was not aware of any wrongdoing. I love you. We hear anywhere from 10 to 200 lies a day, and we spent much of our history coming up with ways to detect them. From medieval torture devices to polygraphs, blood pressure and breathing monitors, voice stress analyzers, eye trackers, infrared brain scanners, and even the 400-pound electroencephalogram. But although such tools have worked under certain circumstances, most can be fooled with enough preparation, and none are considered reliable enough to even be admissible in court. But what if the problem is not with the techniques, but the underlying assumption that lying spurs physiological changes? What if we took a more direct approach, using communication science to analyze the lies themselves? On a psychological level, we lie partly to paint a better picture of ourselves, connecting our fantasies to the person we wish we were rather than the person we are. But while our brain is busy dreaming, it's letting plenty of signals slip by. Our conscious mind only controls about 5% of our cognitive function, including communication, while the other 95% occurs beyond our awareness. And according to the literature on reality monitoring, stories based on imagined experiences are qualitatively different from those based on real experiences. This suggests that creating a false story about a personal topic takes work and results in a different pattern of language use. A technology known as linguistic text analysis has helped to identify four such common patterns in the subconscious language of deception. First, liars reference themselves less when making deceptive statements. They write or talk more about others, often using the third person to distance and disassociate themselves from their lie. Which sounds more false? Absolutely no party took place at this house, or I didn't host a party here. Second, liars tend to be more negative, because on a subconscious level, they feel guilty about lying. For example, a liar might say something like, "Sorry, my stupid phone battery died. I hate that thing." Third, liars typically explain events in simple terms, since our brains struggle to build a complex lie. Judgment and evaluation are complex things for our brains to compute. As a U.S. president once famously insisted, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman." And finally, even though liars keep descriptions simple, they tend to use longer and more convoluted sentence structure, inserting unnecessary words and irrelevant but factual-sounding details in order to pad the lie. Another president confronted with a scandal proclaimed, "I can say categorically that this investigation indicates that no one on the White House staff, no one in this administration presently employed, was involved in this very bizarre incident." Let's apply linguistic analysis to some famous examples. Take seven-time Tour de France winner Lance Armstrong. When comparing a 2005 interview in which he had denied taking performance-enhancing drugs to a 2013 interview in which he admitted it, his use of personal pronouns increased by nearly three-quarters. Note the contrast between the following two quotes. First, "Okay, you know, a guy in a French, in a Parisian laboratory opens up your sample, you know, Jean-Francis so-and-so, and he tests it. And then you get a phone call from a newspaper that says we found you to be positive six times for EPO. Second, I lost myself in all of that. I'm sure there would be other people that couldn't handle it, but I certainly couldn't handle it, and I was used to controlling everything in my life. I controlled every outcome in my life." In his denial, Armstrong described a hypothetical situation focused on someone else, removing himself from the situation entirely. In his admission, he owns his statements, delving into his personal emotions and motivations. But the use of personal pronouns is just one indicator of deception. Let's look at another example from former senator and U.S. presidential candidate John Edwards. "I only know that the apparent father has said publicly that he is the father of the baby. I also have not been engaged in any activity of any description that requested, agreed to, or supported payments of any kind to the woman or to the apparent father of the baby." Not only is that a pretty long-winded way to say, "the baby isn't mine," but Edwards never calls the other parties by name, instead saying, "that baby, the woman, and the apparent father." Now let's see what he had to say when later admitting paternity. "I am Quinn's father. I will do everything in my power to provide her with the love and support she deserves." The statement is short and direct, calling the child by name and addressing his role in her life. So how can you apply these lie-spotting techniques to your life? First, remember that many of the lies we encounter on a daily basis are far less serious than these examples, and may even be harmless. but it's still worthwhile to be aware of telltale clues like minimal self-references, negative language, simple explanations, and convoluted phrasing. It just might help you avoid an overvalued stock, an ineffective product, or even a terrible relationship.
I cannot say that I know you well, but you can't lie to me with all these books that you sell. I'm not trying to follow you to the end of the world. I'm just trying to leave something behind. Words have come from men and mouths, oh, but I can't help thinking that I've heard the wrong crowd. When all the water is gone, my job will be too, and I'm just trying to leave something behind. Oh, money is free, but love costs more than our bread. In the ceiling, it's hard to reach. Oh, the future ahead is broken and red. And I'm trying to leave something behind. This whole world is a foreign land. We swallow the moon, but we don't know our own hand. We're running with the case, oh, but we ain't got the gold. And we're trying to leave something behind. Oh, my friends, I believe we are at the wrong fight, and I cannot read what I did not write. I've been to his house, oh, but the master is gone. But I'd like to leave something behind. Oh, there is a beast who's taking my brain. You can put me to bed, but you can't feel my pain. When the machine has taken the soul from the man, it's time to leave something behind. Our money is free, but love costs more than our bread. In the ceiling, it's hard to reach. All the future ahead is already dead. And I'm trying to leave something. I got this feeling that I'm still at the shore, and pockets don't know what it means to be poor. I can get through the wall if you give me a door, so I can leave something behind. Oh, wisdom is lost in the trees somewhere, or you're not gonna find it in some mental gray hair. It's locked up for those who hurry ahead, and it's time to leave something behind. Oh, money is free, but love costs more than our bread. In the ceiling, it's hard to reach. When my son is a man, he will know what I meant. I was just trying to leave something behind. I was just trying
to leave something behind.
An emotional night for President Obama and his closest supporters. He delivered his farewell address in Chicago. CBS 4's Weijia Jiang is there live with the highlights. Weijia.
Arruda Bay, it was emotional, but also forceful and certainly nostalgic as well. In fact, his very last thought was the same three words that fueled his presidential campaign 8 years ago. Yes, we can, as he urged Americans to keep fighting for change they believe in. President Obama returned to the city that launched his political career, delivering his last speech as commander-in-chief to an audience in Chicago.
I can't do that.
The president spoke for about 50 minutes, thanking the American people.
Every day I have learned from you. You made me a better president, and you made me a better man.
Mr. Obama recounted some of his accomplishments in the White House.
If I had told you 8 years ago that America would reverse a great recession, take out the mastermind of 9/11, win marriage equality, and secure the right to health insurance, if I had told y'all that, you might have said our sights were set a little too high.
The president used this speech to encourage supporters to engage in the political process and to keep fighting for the issues they believe in. But he also had a cautionary tale about the current political climate.
Without a willingness to admit new information and concede that your opponent might be making a fair point, then we're going to keep talking past each other. And will make common ground and compromise impossible.
The president saved his most heartfelt thanks for the First Lady, their daughters, and the Biden family, who joined him on stage to say goodbye.
When death shall close these eyelids, and his heart shall cease to be. They lay me down to rest in some flowery boundary tree. Will you miss me when I'm gone? Will you miss me when I'm gone? Will you miss me? Will you miss me when I'm gone? Will
In 1962, a cave explorer named Michel Seif started a series of experiments where he isolated himself underground for months without light or clocks. He attached himself to electrodes that monitored his vital signs and kept track of when he slept and ate. When Seif finally emerged, the results of his pioneering experiments revealed that his body had kept to a regular sleeping-waking cycle. Despite having no external cues, he fell asleep, woke up, and ate at fixed intervals. This became known as a circadian rhythm, from the Latin for about a day. Scientists later found these rhythms affect our hormone secretion, how our bodies process food, and even the effects of drugs on our bodies. The field of sciences studying these changes is called chronobiology. Being able to sense time helps us do everything from waking and sleeping to knowing precisely when to catch a ball that's hurtling towards us. We owe all these abilities to an interconnected system of timekeepers in our brains. It contains the equivalent of a stopwatch telling us how many seconds elapse, a clock counting the hours of the day, and a calendar notifying us of the seasons. Each one is located in a different brain region. Seif, stuck in his dark cave, relied on the most primitive clock in the suprachiasmatic nucleus, or SCN, of the hypothalamus. Here's the basics of how we think it works, based on fruit fly and mouse studies. Proteins known as CLK, or clock, accumulate in the SCN throughout the day. In addition to activating genes that tell us to stay awake, they make another protein called PER. When enough PER accumulates, it deactivates the gene that makes clock, eventually making us fall asleep. Then, clock falls low, so PER concentrations also drop again, allowing clock to rise, starting the cycle over. There are other proteins involved, but our day and night cycle may be driven in part by this seesaw effect between clock by day and PER by night. For more precision, our SCNs also rely on external cues, like light, food, noise, and temperature. We call these Zeitgebers, German for givers of time. Seif lacked many of these cues underground, but in normal life, they fine-tune our daily behavior. For instance, as natural morning light filters into our eyes, it helps wake us up. Traveling through the optic nerve to the SCN, it communicates what's happening in the outside world. The hypothalamus then halts the production of melatonin, a hormone that triggers sleep. At the same time, it increases the production of vasopressin and noradrenaline throughout the brain, which help control our sleep cycles. At about 10 a.m., the body's rising temperature drives up our energy and alertness, and later in the afternoon, it also improves our muscle activity and coordination. Bright screens at night can confuse these signals, which is why binging on TV before bed makes it harder to sleep. But sometimes we need to be even more precise when telling the time, which is where the brain's internal stopwatch chimes in. One theory for how this works involves the fact that communication between a given pair of neurons always takes roughly the same amount of time. So neurons in our cortex and other brain areas may communicate in scheduled, predictable loops that the cortex uses to judge, with precision, how much time has passed. That creates our perception of time. In his cave, Seif made a fascinating additional discovery about this. Every day, he challenged himself to count up to 120 at the rate of one digit per second. Over time, instead of taking 2 minutes, it began taking him as long as 5. Life in the lonely, dark cave had warped Seif's own perception of time, despite his brain's best efforts to keep him on track. This makes us wonder, what else influences our sense of time? And if time isn't objective, what does that mean? Could each of us be experiencing it differently? Only time will tell.
The pin of all the beige, critical the cake, all up in the ruined GOP murder cakes. For these senseless scenes, for censor scenes, I earned a soldier's wage. So I broke a leg, bitter roll the blades, cause I came in at the OG was overpaid. For putting M16 at Grand
and being horse and through the poster aids. I need a word of pressure, the economic crunch. The financials are seeped in the bombing slush. And the sexist machine expressed in me, cerebral rover suede. Super cavity, move the dark matter. I'm the spring, but the press passer who is in charge. I don't know, they all eat their piston cards. I'm a hack of deer shooting, no Vladimir Putin. While the rubber, this a cashmere pantsuit thing. I can knife this poison, so I be proven become your golden egg. All that made the border ready, tell us of the subsequent happy server. In the pool, the undecided registry, they cut it down, they give a fuck about the funny on the troop research. It's a moot point, what if you heard? Bubbly the idiots for news correspondency, the desperate, the need to form a new foreign policy. The other give the creamy center pro war, pandering the Azure, all scumper over Saturn rings. Regimented double talker, undercuts the president, to other corporate heads, front of red ribbon tax cuts, and invisible to even genitals, the tentacles, bit of the head, and the regulated rules. Happy ever after benefactors, all sell about a sea, send a gather, super celebrated families, and the ability to give a single solitary hood about the proletariat, the merriment is gross.
Yeah! What does this mean for you, though?
You took it for Gita, Roller and a Prius. But I gotta get my money, not infinity plus. What my foreclosed homes and portfolio loans are revisited, need to grind. I did a Russian pen box, tipping off some hemlocks. Took the guy to open to a building on my desktop. I would have been Alfred Sondheim undercooked.
That's when it'd be time.
Cause now the middle finger's the California state bird, if it ain't hurt.
This is last one's called Be Present. So I tend to think of life in terms of movie clips or tweetable moments. Somehow I've convinced myself they last longer that way. Now my wife, and she proved me wrong when she referred to my phone as my black wife. Now, I thought it was funny. I mean, we both giggled. Now, you single dudes, y'all take notes. Now, I am no expert, but I don't think she was kidding. She proceeded to talk about some other stuff, which I really don't remember. I was too busy composing this tweet where I'd quote her with some sort of clever hashtag about marriage and about how much I love her to be listening to her right then. And I think what snapped me back in was the silence, which indicated I was supposed to have some sort of response to whatever she was saying right there. I told my father that story in hopes to get a little sympathy. My father, civil rights, Vietnam War vet, hopelessly charming on his fourth marriage, father. And rather than the customary nod that men give each other when they understand, he proceeded to explain to me why he failed as my mother's husband. He said it was the same reason half of his platoon died in Vietnam. And the same reason you are deathly afraid of your daughter becoming a teenager. Son, you can't hear past the explosions. Either the ones you remember or the ones you anticipate. See, the former, it paralyzes. You live in life in a rear view mirror, driving full speed across six lanes of traffic into the center divider. Or so shell-shocked, you too stupid to duck when bullets are flying. Or the latter, your life, a game of capture the flag. So fixated on the finish line, you stepped right on a landmine. Frustrated because you can't find your keys. Think about the traffic you finna sit in and the meetings you about to miss to realize you've been holding your keys the whole time. Slow down. You've been hypnotized by the possibilities. Son, I couldn't hear past the bombs. First one didn't kill me, and the second one ain't even happened. Yet it ended our family. Told me a love story of this woman born before him. He said, but I knew her from before, and at the moment of conception, there was this eternal connection. And although I didn't know it then, I'd fight for her affection. It's this war we've been waging since day one of creation. And only when you lose her do you learn to appreciate her. Like, even when I'm with her, I'm itching to get rid of her. And she only gives you one shot. Blow it and she's gone. I took advantage of her. That's why I'm telling you this, son. You can't rush her or slow her down. You better keep her on your side. She will slip through your fingers like sand. Her name is time. And he told me a secret. He said, multitasking, it's a myth. You're not doing anything good, just a lot of stuff awful. And she begged me to stop stretching her thin and stuffing her full and stop being so concerned with the old her and future her. Love her. For now. Now. I said her presence was God's present. And you should be that present. So I guess you can say I've somewhat been through a divorce. I'm no longer married to my phone. Learning to be here now.
Cold cocked by a guy in a parking lot, you become unconscious. When you wake up in hospital 7 hours later, you are magically conscious again. But what is consciousness? How can it leave and return so easily through some jerk's fist, through alcohol, or through human birth and death? We have no idea. So let's find out what the smart guys and girls think in our list of 7 astonishing human consciousness theories. In at number 7, giver or receiver? One of the most fascinating questions posed regarding human consciousness asks whether human brains develop it or they merely receive consciousness from an external source. If it's the former, then that means when our bodies die, consciousness dies. But if it's the latter, as doctor and scientist Robert Lanza believes, then our brains are acting like a satellite dish, receiving signals from somewhere or something in the universe. But before you go thinking we're nothing but empty meat vessels whose minds are being controlled by an alien race from a distant galaxy, just hold up a second. Because as fun as that idea may be for a science fiction novel, there is actually an even more fascinating theory which links into this idea of transmitted consciousness. Number 6. The universe is our baby. Despite it being a non-physical concept, the idea of consciousness is now becoming more fundamental to our discussions of the physical world. In our 7 Mysteries of Existence video, we mentioned how physicist Sir Roger Penrose is currently investigating a quantum theory, which he believes demonstrates how human consciousness may be transmitted or funneled away by microtubules within human cells. And in our same video, we also covered the idea that our universe may be a simulation. But in the greatest crossover story of all time, it seems these theories may be linked, because in recent years, more and more physicists are starting to believe that everything in our universe, from stars and stop signs, through to black holes and yogurt, is a mental construction formed entirely from our own consciousness. This means that not only does consciousness not die when your physical body goes kaput, but also that consciousness is responsible for creating actual physical matter. I wish I knew how to tap into that. Make myself a trifle with my mind. Mind trifle. In at five.
Hey,
there's no I in brain, team. Isn't it great when a group of people come together and work harmoniously on a single goal? Whether it's building a bridge, creating a movie, or invading and burning a country to ashes. There's something deeply satisfying about individuals setting aside their own agendas in the name of teamwork. And guess what? There's a theory that our brain does the exact same thing to form consciousness. The single neuron theory states that every one of our brain's individual neurons is, in itself, conscious on some small level, and that each is capable of transmitting and absorbing information. This communication between the neurons helps build the bigger picture of human consciousness. So, when one group of neurons processes the feel of something mushy underneath your foot, another group recalls a memory of this happening before. Then one more group commands you to raise your foot, and the neurons processing sight and smell finally confirm that yes, you have indeed stepped in dog shit. This theory could be used to determine why conditions such as bipolar schizophrenia or other mental illnesses occur. As if several groups of neurons aren't invoking workplace synergy, then your brain's end-of-year review ain't gonna look so good. Four. It's a side effect of chaos. A recent hypothesis currently being investigated by university teams from Paris and Toronto claims that human consciousness is merely a byproduct of one of the universe's most fundamental principles, entropy. Entropy describes how any given system gradually progresses from order to disorder. So when you boil water, its molecules are separated and scattered, increasing its entropy. Similarly, when you cook an egg and scramble it, you've also increased the entropy of the original egg. This means that when you smash your mom's favorite vase, you're actually contributing to the natural progress of the universe. But how does entropy relate to our mind? Well, in an admittedly limited study of 9 people, 7 of whom had epilepsy, it was discovered that the test subjects' neural synchronization displayed higher levels of entropy when they were fully conscious and completely aware, compared to when they were asleep or when the epileptic people were enduring a seizure. This seems to indicate that the greater the chaotic layout of the human mind, the more conscious and in control one becomes. This investigation is fascinating, but its authors wish to remind us that it's still in its very early stages. So if you're looking to achieve a higher state of consciousness, don't go putting your brain into a blender just yet. At number 3, consciousness is a movie. When you watch a movie, you're not viewing a fluid depiction of motion, you're actually seeing a series of still images which are projected so fast, you perceive it as one seamless piece of movement. The time slice theory of consciousness believes that our brains work in a similar way, asserting that humans first process incoming sensory information from our eyes, ears, mouth, etc. in an unconscious manner. Then we shift to a state of perceptual awareness. But these moments of awareness only happen in blips or time slices. And it's thought that the whole process lasts around 400 milliseconds. Which may not sound much, but it effectively means your brain has the same thing your Xbox has in the middle of a tough game of FIFA. The dreaded curse of the lag monster. This raises an interesting question, though. For if the time slice theory were true, what if we could somehow shorten or remove this lag? What if we could shrink those 400 millisecond gaps between processing and awareness? It could mean the development of hyper-aware human beings. Or it could make the whole world look like a crappy reality show, like what happened when The Hobbit went to 48 frames per second. It ain't nothing special. The main property of consciousness is deemed to be its ability to integrate all our sensory experiences into one single reality. And the integrated information theory states that this is all consciousness is, a complex system of interactions and evaluations. With this in mind, the theory also states that computer systems which are sufficiently complex could therefore be built to achieve some form of consciousness themselves, albeit one which is different to our own human experience. But other researchers who have studied the theory separately claim that the integrated information theory proves we are special little snowflakes after all, and that we could never replicate human consciousness with a computer, because even with the most powerful processors in the world, there's still no way of mimicking how our brains integrate information into forming consciousness subconsciously. Whereas a computer switch takes in information when it's switched on and does not do so when it is off, humans are known to process information in both a conscious and unconscious manner. And since we don't know which information this applies to or how or why it seems to be essential, it seems the idea of an artificial human consciousness must be consigned to science fiction. For now. And at number one, is my dog aware? Despite being the most fundamental aspect of our very being, consciousness has rarely been studied within the context of evolution. Because of this, we have no answers to some of the most important questions of how consciousness evolved, such as when did humans develop consciousness? And do other animals have differing levels of consciousness? The attention schema theory attempts to answer some of these queries by suggesting that consciousness comes as a response to a biological requirement of the brain. As a creature's brain develops over time, it could become gradually overwhelmed with a mass of new data if it failed to develop a sophisticated system for filtering out, processing, and prioritizing certain information. For example, when you're driving a car, your brain filters out most of your irrelevant thoughts regarding sexual reproduction, how funny monkeys are, and which kind of ketchup is the best, in order to help you focus on the task at hand. Humans need this selective approach to stimuli, because if we didn't focus like this, we'd become overwhelmed with several thoughts at once, never being able to concentrate on any one thing, and eventually crashing our car into an orphanage. The attention schema theory believes that consciousness is formed out of this ability to shift the spotlight of our mind. And if true, that means that consciousness is indeed an evolved trait found in biological life, So your dumb dog has a form of consciousness, your goldfish, your pet hamster, and maybe even plants and trees too. What this also means is humans today could be experiencing differing levels of consciousness themselves, which is something I've witnessed myself shopping Black Friday at Walmart. And even more amazingly, there could be a superior advanced state of consciousness waiting for us in the future, one which our unevolved human minds are yet capable of imagining.
What are you, writing a book?
Yeah.
Well, leave that chapter out.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Back to the hardcore. Back to the hardcore. Back to the hardcore. Back to the hardcore. Intelligent infinity, malevolent epitome. They consider me as the most deadly weapon from Italy. That'll include the Benelli, summer water artillery. Literally, cryogenically treated to be invisibly. Symphony slicker than 60 Sicilianos from Sicily. Motherfucker fucking, but never gonna do shit to me. I'm about to set it on motherfuckers officially. Rip they spine out and just put them out of their misery. No more Mr. Nice Guy, everything maliciously. Who can stop me now? You with Luca Brasi, where fishes be? It's impossible that you righteous without the dignity. Get fix a problem, you motherfucker can come and visit me.
Superhumanity gradually back from my galaxy, burning them calories. I'm still yearning to earn a salary. The son of anarchy, I'm in court pleading insanity. Can it be all the panicking and agony that's trapping me tragically? Introducing you rappers to tragedy. Happily ever after, if after means you a casualty. Praise those who savagely sacrifice in reality. Bury bones and annually dig them up unhappily. Catch me flossing dead in the center of gravity. Bonafide, a mix between Maxi Priest and the Maccabees. My mentality manipulating your mastery to master. Disaster strikes whatever's in back of me.
Playtime is over, daytime is over. The finest soldiers take nines and holsters. My only weapons, canines and cobras. We diamond poachers, we take your shine. We some mind controllers. My rhyme is solar flaring, airing out the con below us. You know Lois Lane on my name. I'm throwing flames in your brain like Ghost Rider. My flow's tied around Blakey Griffin with an open lane. My foe is Bane. My flow is Betsy Ross off the Zoloft. So insane, I'm overtraining hand to hand and man to man. My hammer's landing, can you fam? I'm a brutal rapper, you a shoot the ladders, Candyland MC. I'm completely AOTP to the death. Esoteric zombie killer taking out whatever's left.
You mad cause the army's here, top to bottom army kid. Gunshots is all you hear, death come to all who's near. We running through the village, killing, building a regime. Heavy, unstoppable, crown of thorns form, we ready.
Play time's over, I take your mind back to the hardcore, hardcore, hardcore. When play time's over, I take your mind back to the hardcore, hardcore.
The God particle, Armageddon weapons in my arsenal. I'm the real deal, fucking Alex Jones article. Hard as Arctic cold, my murder's a nautical. Murky in the murky depths where the screams aren't audible. Salutations, standing over bodies salivating. Was kicked out of hell cause I wouldn't battle Satan. I'm the boss, I turn your albums off. I turn your brain to applesauce. My wingspan is like an albatross. Out the frost mouth, spewing out exhaust. Out come the claws, power force that could blow the tops of mountains off. Blow the head of cowards off, you'll get carried off. Y'all are soft as fairies buried in terror.
In 94 I dripped the spreading salt and pepper's legs. But I was busy playing dodgeball with seven heads, yeah. Conducting chaos with a chrome baton. So sound the smoke alarm, cause overall I broke your arms and kicked your ass with loafers on. What? Homeboy, this HK set of wars. I'm a dragon, you a big ass with a tape measure sword. Self-titled is a motherfucking problem. With germs that are infectious, attack like German shepherds while acid dissolve. I got the ratchet, I blast it. You got a ratchet, but you keep it in your jacket undercover, brother. On your album cover, trying to look like you crazy when your theme song should be Aerosmith. Dude looks like a lady.
You mad cause the army's here, top to bottom army kid. Gunshots is all you hear, death come to all who's near. We running through the village, killing, building a regime. Heavy, unstoppable, crown of thorns form, we ready.
When play time's over, I take your mind back to the hardcore, hardcore. When play time's over, I take your mind back to the hardcore, hardcore. When play time's over, I take your mind back to the hardcore.
Now, go find the others.com.
Hey, where you going?
Oh no, we ain't done yet. This was the Catholic God. Now we gotta go pray to the Presbyterian God, then the Methodist God, then the non-denominational God. We gotta cover all our bases.